I'm not sure how I made it through those 6 days. Most of it I can't remember. On 2 or 3 afternoons, to pass some time, I helped Elroy get the place ready for winter, sweeping down the cabins and hauling in the boats, little chores that kept my body moving. The days were cool and bright. The nights were very dark. One morning, the old man showed me how to split and stack firewood, and for several hours we just worked in silence out behind his house. At one point, I remember, Elroy put down his maul and looked at me for a long time, his lips drawn as if framing a difficult question. But then he shook his head and went back to work. The man's self-control was amazing. He never pried. He never put me in a position that required lies or denials. To an extent, I suppose, his reticence was typical of that part of Minnesota, where privacy still held value, and even if I'd been walking around with some horrible deformity, 4 arms and 3 heads, I'm sure the old man would have talked about everything except those extra arms and heads. Simple politeness was part of it. But even more than that, I think the man understood that words were insufficient. The problem had gone beyond discussion. During that long summer, I'd been over and over the various arguments, all the pros and cons, and it was no longer a question that could be decided by an act of pure reason. Intellect had come up against emotion. My conscience told me to run, but some irrational and powerful force was resisting, like a weight pushing me toward the war. What it came down to, stupidly, was a sense of shame. Hot, stupid shame. I did not want people to think badly of me. Not my parents, not my brother and sister, not even the folks down at the Gobbler Cafe. I was ashamed to be there at the Tip Top Lodge. I was ashamed of my conscience, ashamed to be doing the right thing. Some of this Elroy must have understood. Not the details, of course, but the plain fact of crisis. Although the old man never confronted me about it, there was one occasion when he came close to forcing the whole thing out into the open. It was early evening and we just finished supper, and over coffee and dessert, I asked him about my bill, how much I owed so far. For a long while, the old man squinted down at the tablecloth.
"Well, the basic rate," he said, "is $50 a night, not counting meals. That makes 4 nights, right?"
I nodded. I had $312 in my wallet. Elroy kept his eyes on the tablecloth.
"Now, that's an on-season price. To be fair, I suppose we should knock it down a peg or two."
He leaned back in his chair.
"What's a reasonable number, you figure?"
"I don't know," I said. "40?
40's good, 40 a night. Then we tack on food, say another 100? 260 total?
"I guess." He raised his eyebrows.
"Too much?"
"No, that's fair, it's fine. Tomorrow, though, I think I'd better take off tomorrow." Elroy shrugged and began clearing the table. For a time he fussed with the dishes, whistling to himself, as if the subject had been settled. After a second, he slapped his hands together.
"You know what we forgot," he said. "We forgot wages, those odd jobs you done. What we have to do, we have to figure out what your time's worth. Your last job, how much did you pull in an hour?"
"Not enough," I said.
"A bad one?"
"Yeah, pretty bad." Slowly then, without intending any long sermon, I told him about my days at the pig plant. It began as a straight recitation of the facts, but before I could stop myself, I was talking about the blood clots and the water gun, and how the smell had soaked into my skin and how I couldn't wash it away. I went on for a long time. I told him about wild hogs squealing in my dreams, the sounds of butchery, slaughterhouse sounds, and how I'd sometimes wake up with that greasy pig stink in my throat.